From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Kevin listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have a problem. I was born a hermaphrodite, and my parents didn't make the choice for me. And I'm confused as if it would be a sin to choose to be a man or a girl, you know? And I'm just really confused. And I just want to know if there's anything in the Bible that could help me.
Well, I think that what needs to happen is competent biblical and medical counsel. I think that's first and foremost. I think that anyone who is suffering from gender confusion should not pursue such things as marriage until the confusion has been biblically resolved. And that sometimes seems harsh at face value, but it's no different than the requirement placed on all believers to die to sin and live for righteousness through the power of Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. But this is something that goes far beyond an electronic soundbite. It really requires those who have competent counsel, boots on the ground, as it were, to relate to you, to love you within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church.
I'm wondering, because if I were to choose one or the other and get married, would God see that as sinful?
I think you want to resolve properly the gender confusion. That's the first issue, and then recognize that all disorders and even death itself ultimately results from the fall. I mean, your condition is a very rare condition, but it warrants good biblical counsel and good medical counsel so that proper gender assignment is made, so that it is not simply arbitrary but well thought out, again, within the context of good counsel. And I simply do not have the wherewithal to give that to you. I would be remiss if I tried to do that as an electronic soundbite. I'm happy to help you off air, try to work towards resolution with good counsel, but to do that over the airwaves would simply be irresponsible for me.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, Kevin. Again, if we can help you, please do not go away. Hang on. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Erica, listening in Giddings, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. My question is, if you are seeking direction from God and wanting to know about a step to take, how do you know, like confirmation, how do you know that it's Him telling you to do it? I hear people say, I just knew in my spirit, I heard in my spirit, like, I'm not quite sure. Is it audible, you know?
Well, God directs us through circumstances and through people, and He does direct us through that still small voice within, but that still small voice within is always informed by prayer, by getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you, so that you understand the precepts and the principles of Scripture, and thus whatever it is that you are intending to do does not violate them. But God directs us through people and circumstances. Can He do it in a miraculous fashion? Of course. He directed Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, in a miraculous fashion, but that's non-normative.
Okay, because I just believe in the right timing. You know, some things are good to do, but if it's not in God's timing, it may not be the way He had intended it to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And what's so wonderful about the Christian life is that prior to becoming a Christian, trying to determine what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, is like finding a needle in a haystack. But when you become a believer and you're committed to communication with God, then what you are intended to do is directed. It's what the Bible says. We choose our path, God directs our steps. So we're involved in the process, but God is guiding us as one of His beloved sheep.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time.
Hey, you got it, Erica. Thank you for your call. Ryan next in Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I have a question about in the King James Bible. I normally don't read the King James Bible, but I was reading about a contradiction regarding Acts 9:7 and Acts 22:9, where the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. In 9:7, it says that the men with him heard the voice, and then in 22:9, they did not hear the voice. So I was wondering what what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, there are some translations like the KJV that render the text hear rather than understand the voice. But what Acts 22:9 is conveying is that Paul's companions did not hear the voice as a thought conveying message. So they heard the sound but did not understand it as a thought conveying message in the same sense that Saul did. And that, of course, makes perfect sense within the context of both what's explained in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 9.
Okay, so would that be just a kind of a mistranslation?
Well, I think it's an insufficient translation, and that's why the newer translators have pointed out that here ought to be correctly rendered understand. That's the actual sense of the Greek. It is that Paul's companions heard but did not understand the voice. To them, the voice was like the sound of thunder.
Okay. And then I just had that one more quick question, if I could.
Sure.
I was wondering what, I'm not sure what verse, I think it's in Romans where it says, when the perfect comes, it talks about tongues will cease and basically the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceasing when the perfect comes.
Right. Right. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter on love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, there does not refer to that which is perfect in the sense that a lot of people interpret it. So they think this refers to the canon as that which is perfect. It refers to the second coming of Christ as that which is perfect, because if you read the text, verse 12, in fact, let me start at verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now, obviously, we don't see face to face or know fully now. So while some people have rendered this, as I said, to be the completion of the canon, I think that this has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well then I was wondering, then have the gifts of the Spirit ceased as far as miracle, working in miracles and tongues and things like that? Or?
Well, I would say that the gift of miracles is non-normative today. I wouldn't say that it has ceased in the sense that God can perform miracles today through His beloved just as He could in years past. But I think what you have in terms of the miracles of Scripture, just as the prophecies of Scripture, is a way of understanding that the Bible is reliable. So the prophets were able to predict the future. The apostles were spokesmen for God, and they were authenticated by their miracles. And thus they were those that could be trusted because, in the case of the prophets, what they said came to pass. In the case of the apostles, they were able to do the miraculous and were set apart through their miraculous gifts. So again, I'm not suggesting that it is impossible for God to work a gift through someone. That would be overstating the case, but I would say that it is correct to say it's non-normative. And if it was normative, of course, we wouldn't be calling them miracles to begin with.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and there are a lot of these guys that are going around the country saying that they're raising people from the dead and they're doing this and that and the other thing, but quite frankly, having checked out their miracle claims, they don't check out number one. Number two, if they really had that gift, why aren't they in hospitals emptying them out?
Right, right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're coming to station break, and as we go to break, a reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and as many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation of your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books, any one of them, as requested to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. That would be a wonderful addition if you joined. Many others standing shoulder to shoulder. Be right back with more.
In his newest book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Hank Hanegraaff extends a heartfelt invitation to readers to consider what it means to genuinely participate in the divine nature, to move beyond the notion of God as an abstract idea, and to powerfully know Christ as a daily transformational power and presence in our lives. Hank Hanegraaff believes that Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the most important book he has ever written. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves
themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the story of a transformed life. Hank Hanegraaff passionately proclaims that truth matters and equips readers to defend the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain why his life and ministry were radically transformed by a three-word phrase, life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Christian, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Christian.
Hey, Hank. I got a quick question that has been working my mind a little bit. What is your belief or what do you think about people that are claiming themselves to be apostles at this time? Because I know that scripture of Paul says that he, as the last of the apostles, as some aborted son, he claimed to be the last apostle. What do you think about that?
I think that words are not univocal, they're equivocal, so it depends on what you mean by apostle. But certainly, if you're talking about an apostle like the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, or you're talking about a prophet like Jeremiah, there are no super apostles and prophets around today, as some are claiming. When I say super, that is precisely what they claim. Some of them say that they are so super that the apostles like John or Paul or Peter or James would stand in line just to be getting their autographs, because what they will be doing is far greater than what the biblical prophets did. In that sense, I can say that these people are seriously deluded. But if you say an apostle in the sense of a missionary or a pastor of pastors, or a prophet in the sense of a leader who is equipping and empowering and strengthening the church, yeah, those words are wholly appropriate. But the inappropriate sense in which it's being used today by people in the Word of Faith movement and otherwise, it is not only diluted, but, well, I was going to use another word, but probably best that I don't.
But I do understand that the word apostle itself means like sent, that someone has been sent to do a job, let's say like that. But it, to put it in like biblical terms, like claiming to be like apostles like Paul and such, I mean, they're actually claiming that the five ministries, they have been reestablished, like in the time, their prophecy and the apostolic ministry were lost, and now in this time, they've been like reinstated in.
Well, again, they are dead wrong. The Bible teaches that the apostles and prophets were commissioned by God to be his personal spokespersons. And if you look at Ephesians 2, it lets us know that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And that foundation is not being relaid in the present. And I think also the prophetic words of Scripture expose today's pretenders. They not only fail the biblical tests, like as given in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, but they mouth empty, boastful words, as Acts 1 puts it, and appeal to the lustful desires of sinful human nature and entice in the process people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. And I think, as harsh as that is, the words of Peter there are words that apply to many of those today who are claiming to be super apostles or prophets.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless you. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Aaron next in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, I've heard you talk about Revelation on numerous occasions, and I really appreciate your take on things and how you've laid it all out. I have read your book, Apocalypse Code, and I've shared it with a friend of mine, and a friend of mine, a housemate actually, he has been through seminary and so forth, and the question that he raised was, how does one know if it's referring to near future or far future, or if there's a single fulfillment or a double fulfillment? And I didn't really know how to answer that, because he's really married to the whole thought of a pre-tribulational rapture, and he's just stuck on that. But however, after reading your book, he definitely had to scratch his head and rethink things a little bit. That was the question he raised, was how does one know between near or far future?
Well, what's interesting is that if you look at my chapter in the book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, there I talk about typological prophecy, and in the process show the utter bankruptcy of taking certain prophecies and doubling them and then driving them into the future, like the Isaiah 7 prophecy, which is fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 8, but then typologically fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. But if you try to make this a double fulfillment, you end up losing the very people that you are witnessing to. And I give an illustration of that in the section on typological prophecy. In fact, I give three different sections that I use as examples. But yeah, taking the prophecies, doubling them, and driving them in the future is quite bankrupt because of the context. Now, there is a sense in which you can say that there are prophecies that are made in the book of Revelation, and they apply to the seven churches in the province of Asia. They apply in a first century context, but they have certain application to us in the present, which is to say that there is going to be an ultimate day of judgment, right? And so I think that there's a sense in which you can telescope and see that the fact that Jesus Christ came in judgment on Jerusalem and the temple shows that he is a true prophet. What he said came to pass precisely as he said it would come to pass, and therefore we can also trust his words when he says he will come again to judge the living and the dead, that he will appear a second time. So we can look forward to the time that Jesus himself returns, and that return is a coming of sort. And so in that sense, I suppose you could look at it as having not only a for future fulfillment, but also a final future fulfillment.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cameron next. He's listening in South Dakota. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I'm a youth pastor here in South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And after listening to your show, I listened to your show probably like maybe five days of a week. However, just by some of the questions that you have been asked, I kind of wonder, why is it that people diminish the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them to overcome their own trials within their own lives? And I understand that we seek guidance as a body of believers. We seek guidance. We seek counsel to help us get through these trials within our lives. But why is it that we believe that only within people to answer our questions and don't necessarily go to God or the Holy Spirit himself to empower us or to give us the guidance that we need to conquer these trials within our own lives?
Yeah, and good point. I think that we so often rely only on human sources, as you so ably point out, instead of relying on the ultimate source, and that is the fact that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and can be infilled or empowered for service. And I find myself in that circumstance, Cameron, every single day as I get ready to do the show. I pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that what I do is far more than giving an answer, but actually reaching a person. And I think this is the same thing that you're alluding to, that we should all be focused in on. The Holy Spirit can give us wisdom. He gives us wisdom that bypasses the normal. And I've actually written about this in one of my books, where I point out how the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we cannot do on our own.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. But again, it's so watered down within churches nowadays that it's honestly, Hank, it drives me crazy that we put more faith in people rather than we do in God. And, you know, I was reading this book, and when people sell us rather than God, when people sell us, I say, if I come to you and I ask you a question and you give me an answer, and if I fail because of the answer that you have given me, I become more offended towards you, and then I have put you on such a pedestal within my life that I hate you with such a strong passion. And I believe that if we truly just go to God with everything that all we are, rather than treating God like a fan and start being a disciple to Christ, then we'll become more prone to, you know, seeking answers from God and being able to find our way through this life that is so devastating to one another. But, you know, Hank, I honestly love you, and I pray that you just continue to just minister to people. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, thank you, Cameron. Appreciate your call. I wish it would. Could continue the conversation with you, but we're out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.